All right. Let's roll
this. Okay,
thing.
Welcome to the fucking pod.
Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Matt McDonald with us today. What's up, McIntyre?
Like Reba?
Well, yeah. You know, Matt, I was just trying to think of other Mac names. McEnroe, McIntyre.
What are the nicknames you've all had in your life on that? Probably a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing was like when I was a kid, kids would make fun of me and ask me if my dad's name was Ronald or
right.
Or if
Which
I lived
funny,
on,
by the way,
that is a pretty good zinger.
Or if I lived on a farm. Yeah.
Oh, the right. Farm. You got that one starting in kindergarten, probably.
Old McDonald. Yeah.
That's
old
a first grade level.
God.
The other one's more like middle. So the Ronald McDonald one is more like, that's more like fourth to sixth grade. But
the funniest
the Matt,
kid
Matt
is,
here.
That's a first grade.
That's yeah. more like Toby level, you know?
Yeah.
The funniest kids in kindergarten would pull that one out for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on tonight, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
What did y'all get made? What was y'all? What was your Matt? Yours just Matt Fat?
Matt the Rat, Matt Fat, Matt
Charter, Fat. Charter Carter. Carter Carter. Gotta
that
be
was
Farter
before
Carter.
Shart was a thing. Farter for sure. Farter.
Yeah,
Carter.
Matt Farter. That's more like you need to get to middle school,
Matt
but I'm
Farter.
Saying just right, you know, if it's Matt the Rat. Yeah.
These jokes are so great.
Matt
They're
the
timeless.
Bat.
Matt Farter is a timeless joke that's always funny.
Yeah, no problem with that one. Yeah. That one never bothered me.
You always liked that one.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all.
I don't think did I have one, Matt? You remember any?
No.
You don't seem like
that's what I'm saying. You're not the kind of person that gets made fun of. I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, I didn't get made fun of, but I was small. You know, I was short.
Yeah, you had some little, that's true.
I was
you
short
were
up until high school.
What do you
I
remember ever being made
short.
Fun of, though? Let's just go through that a little bit. Because I think most
much.
People have lots of memories of being made fun of. But think
I mean,
about
not,
your young years, early elementary school, middle. Do you remember getting made fun of much?
Everybody always liked you, though. You're too
no,
nice.
No, I'm not
kind
saying and, I got made fun of much.
Can you conjure
saying,
the memories, the middle school memories of getting picked on and made fun of in elementary school and middle? Is anything coming?
I remember it being very uncomfortable in middle school, but that was just probably just because of it was uncomfortable.
By everybody.
Stupid, yeah.
Yeah.
You were never targeted.
No, I don't think so.
You're only targeted if you're loud and obnoxious, which you're not. So,
well,
like, it's not your nature.
I was
annoying.
Just pretty, you know, what I'm just who I am, but I got along with most everybody pretty well, like in a bunch of different spectrums of the social. You know, groups in school. And so I was able to kind of fit in with each one of them in small ways or whatever. But I remember in middle school, there's a guy named Travis Collins who, when I was 12 years old, I mean, I swear to God, his forearms were the size of my thighs. I mean,
huge.
They were massive.
Yeah. Good Lord.
I mean, he was just a big dude.
He was
super nice.
Way big, like tall. He was just early developer
just
of everything.
Thick. He looked like a tree trunk. But And then there was another guy named Brad Lemons, who I was good friends with. We played basketball and stuff. They were both really cool and nice. But one time on the bus, they both, you remember the fish hook? You know, occasionally that was a thing for a while. You grab somebody, which is really gross, by the way. You stick your finger.
Yeah, I would never
want
to do it to other people. Yeah.
But people did it, and I remember one time
you got double fish hook.
Some reason I got double fish hook by Brad Lemons and
God.
Travis Collins.
That hurts.
I thought
me
it was gonna
right
rip
now.
My mouth apart. I got mad, and they were two giant guys, and I was like, "What?" I mean, I didn't cuss or anything back then, but I was like, "What?" I was just like, "What are you doing?" I was like, that hurt really bad. I mean, they were joking. Like, they would joke with people, but not really hurt people, you know, always or something. But it was bad. I got really mad, and they were like, sorry, Devin, we didn't mean to hurt you. But, I mean, I never got picked on in that regard, but there was always bully-ish kind of people.
Yeah, just
you know what I mean? That
way.
Were just bullies to everybody.
But
you know?
Toby and Mac, when is the earliest you remember feeling targeted?
Oh yeah.
Or like, you know, in your mind at least it felt that way.
I remember first grade when they would call me fat fucking bitch, fat bitch, and that I was like, whoa, Even then, I was like, that feels a little harsh.
First grade. About
just like, you know what I mean? It was just, I was like, good Lord. And it was like, loser bitch. It's always bitch. I was like, what the fuck? Help me out a little bit here, everybody.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Mine was always just I was fat. So I was always fat, so it was just easy to go to. You know what I mean? Like, just somebody would call you fat or, you know,
at
whatever.
What's the earliest age you think that you received that message from a peer?
Third grade. I think third grade. It wasn't like – some kid probably, I think, called me fat or chubby or chunky or something or, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah.
And then as I got older – yeah, I guess it was still kind of that, but it wasn't, it didn't really, I guess high school, you didn't really, the saying somebody's fat wasn't really that, yeah, it wasn't a good zinger by then, really.
And you learn, you know how, I mean, to use those things, you know what I mean? Like, they became ammo, right? Not like, you know, your personality is able to kind of turn that around eventually.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of, I guess you had to.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that was, you know, to me, it's like, sure, I was getting... whatever, that stuff didn't ever bother me because I was turning it around into just I'll get attention with it or something, like, you know what I mean, like, but I didn't feel like I had a choice because somebody's going to point me out or do, I'm gonna do something weird and then somebody's gonna name it and then everybody's gonna look and now I'm on, I gotta be on for whatever happens next, basically.
Yeah
That's the way I think my personality was shaped by it. At least it's like I know I'm going to get attention just for being a weirdo on accident, and then when everybody's looking or doing whatever, I got to figure out how to dance, you know, say something, do something,
right?
And then you get a lot of practice.
Yeah, my humor is 100% a defense mechanism.
Oh,
it,
yeah,
100%. Sure. It was built as a defense mechanism because I was like, I know I'm going to get made fun of, so I have to be funny.
Be ready and when the moment comes.
Yeah, or have those people laughing so they don't make fun of me. And then a side product of that was it sometimes helped girls to notice me too. Not that they wanted to date me or anything, but they at least would notice me because I was funny. But it was a defense mechanism for sure. Like, I guess, you know what? That's kind of crazy now that we're talking about this. I guess that's how maybe most comedy is, because that's why if you don't get picked on or have anything have to have a defense for, you don't become funny, right? Like, that's why it's people related. are less funny that are just had an easier life.
Well, or unless you're just born desperately needy of people's, like, you want to be liked,
right?
Like, some people just have that, and maybe that is like a critical wound in their childhood, but like they just are desperate for people to like them.
And but so frequently it's getting picked on will put you in a spot to develop a response. Because, I mean, what's your other response is be extra aggressive. That's one. Some people develop that strategy.
Right.
And mine is a humor, but mixed with maybe talking or changing the subject or explaining or any other thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can change the subject or talk my way, you know, whatever it is. But I have to do the work, you know.
What do you think the bullies, like the people who do most of the making fun, what kind of reaction do you think they really want? Like, what are they really looking for? I know they want to have the power over the person or whatever, but what reaction do they want from the other person?
They need to feel up, because it's most likely they're bullied at home, right?
Right.
So they need to feel
other bigger
strong.
Bully than them.
So they want the person
to react cowardly.
Yeah,
something?
They just want to feel up versus them. It's kind of a simple.
Cry, run away, be small.
Right.
It's not about the thing they pick on. They just do it. And the weird thing about bullies is they a lot of times get that everybody laughs when you do it, and that's just a side effect. The really thing they like is actually the dominance or something, and they get the laughter anyway. So a lot of them are funny.
Right.
I mean, it is fun. It can be funny. You have to admit, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I
mean, like the right on the edge of bully or actual bullying or what they call punching down, I mean – if you're not careful, it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows it is.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, but most people, they laugh with the bully because they're scared not to.
Yeah, but you a lot of times it's funny. Like, I point out something hilarious about somebody, guy. And they're good at it somehow. So, yeah. But that's a side effect to the thing they really want, was just to put the other down to feel up, I think. I mean, that's the way I would explain it. Yeah. But sometimes it's like those weird, you know, sometimes people aren't really aware they're doing. I'm just saying in the most severe case where it's like those really active middle school bullies that are those certain type, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe that's true for every, you know, on some level for everybody. Whenever you're engaged in bullying behavior, it's probably because you're feeling small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to feel big.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny now when you see like kids and the kind of way they interact, and then you see a kid that's kind of a bully and how small and nothing he is, like literally. Yeah. But from the perspective of the other kid, it's like, oh my gosh,
he's just figured out where those weaknesses are and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
just enough to play that game.
From a non scared perspective, you're just like, oh, there's nothing there. But anyway, all right, yeah. Well, what are we gonna talk about? Music. What do we want to do?
School bullying.
School bullies.
Our fasting is going pretty good. Today is a fasted day, so we are.
Yeah, holy shit, Devin. You just texted the thread that you walked 18,000 steps today.
18,000.
What do you do?
I get a lot of steps.
What do you do?
Well,
that's like hours.
I went for a walk this morning, like a 45-minute walk. So that was – I had – 5,000 before like 8 a.m. or something.
Damn.
And then I don't
know. And then he jacked off for four hours.
It counts as steps.
I mean, phone doesn't know. Well, he uses the phone.
It's a phone arm.
I hold it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Remy keeps me moving, man. I don't know. I mean, I was home all day today because the kids were off school. So I was home. And he just constantly wants to play stuff, and I'm just with him and around and playing and doing, you know.
Man.
And so I feel like it's just I'm never sitting still. I don't ever think about sitting still at home, really. It just doesn't happen very often. But yeah.
I didn't exercise at all today. Zero, because Josh was here. Josh, our keyboard player at Emory, and he's taking the van. He's driving the van to Seattle from Champaign. So I had to get him ready, and then I had a bunch of other stuff to do, and then I was like, oh, shit, I didn't even exercise today. I did yesterday a lot. But, okay, so I say I didn't exercise at all today. How many steps do you think I got today?
10,000.
I promise you, I didn't do hardly any. There was, I would not have said I exercised today in the slightest.
I'd say 5,000 for me.
I'd say 7,500.
5,300.
Oh, so you call that a baseline, like basically low activity day.
So it has to be low activity that you walk a couple of miles. Is that what I did?
It's 2.5. That's about 2.5 miles.
So I walked 2.5 miles today. And if I would have went for a 2.5 mile walk, I'd have said, well, I did do 2.5 miles today, you know.
But you would also get the incidental. So you'd have been at 4 to 5. But
I would have been up more. But I mean, I would have thought I would have exercised. If all I did today was that, and then, but.
Well, I didn't wear a watch, but yesterday I walked for over 4 hours straight.
What were you doing? Just talking on the phone?
I was talking on the phone. I was texting. It was when we were doing a bunch of those calculations. So that whole time I was just walking, just blasting. I just got in the groove, and I dropped Cosmo off at preschool and then got to walking. And then I did this whole super long walk, and then I got on the phone. So I just was like pacing around after that. But I didn't ever sit down. I sat down for like 20 minutes and ate and did something. No, I didn't eat.
Yeah, you get a lot.
I got a coffee. I stopped in and went to the bathroom, got a coffee, and then just kept on talking and walking. But it was from basically at 9:30 to 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should wear a
watch. I don't
watch
know why. I wasn't wearing a watch. I'd like to see what that would have turned out to be.
It's probably
25. I don't have a watch. I just have my phone in my pocket, I guess. So
yeah, phone does it too, right?
Yeah.
So mine didn't. Wasn't tracking. I looked on my phone to see if it was, but it didn't.
Mac, you get a pretty decent baseline, don't you?
Yeah, if I don't try to go for a walk and I just live a day, it'll be, it's high. It's over
2,000. Matt's very – yours is very high. Sorry, I said Mac, but yours is very high. What about yours, Mac?
I got to go for a walk to get 10,000, but usually I walk for like 45 minutes and then I'll get it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't move otherwise.
What do you lift 3 days a week?
Usually, but not recently. But usually, yeah, 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been working out a lot. I have that Tonal. You know, you guys have heard of that?
Yeah.
It's the wall computer thing. Matt, you would really like it.
You really like it.
Yeah, I know.
It's awesome. I promise. It's like one. I wasn't sure about it. Megan wanted to get it when we moved to our new house, and I was like, well, let's work out for a few months consistently before we buy something like that. So we had to work out. We did for a while, and then I was like, all right. But I use it daily. I mean, 5 days a week. I don't always work out 7 days a week, but 5 days a week. And it's great. It's just, you know, you pick a program, you pick a trainer, whatever.
Right.
You can got a beginner, intermediate, advanced, whatever. So, and I love Tony Horton. I can't help it. I just always, you know him, right? The Beachbody guy.
Yeah. He looks just like great.
Him. 63. He's really cheesy and goofy.
Yeah.
But he just is likable. I don't know why.
Yeah.
All the other people are like young trainers and they're real serious and just, I'm like, I don't want that. I want a goofball. You know what I mean? Having fun a little bit. So he does good. I mean, and I use other trainers too, but then it's like it does a routine. I do like a 20 and 20. So they're fast workouts a lot of times. And then 20 days, 20 minutes, and then I'll go to the next level or whatever. But it goes up to like 200 something pounds of resistance. Man. It's really cool. I mean, it's really, really great. But anyway, my point was that I did that today as well. And so I did that like middle of the day. But yeah, that helped. I mean, it's just great, and it's so convenient. That's why I was saying, Matt, I think you would really like it.
Yeah, I need something to do, make me do certain things.
It's just
today was the hardest day for me by far. I mean, I woke up and I was hungry. I was like, oh, I'm hungry. And then I was like, oh, luckily Josh was there, so I had to get some stuff out of the van and do that. So got my mind off of it for a little bit. But then as soon as he left, I was like, oh, my God, I have to not – and there was several times a day where like I just reached for food and was about to put it in my mouth. I was like, oh wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's, I love it.
Like it's shot. I was like, whoa, dude. Like that felt like reckless. You know what I mean? Like, oh, whoa, dude. That was fucking close, man. Like it felt like, you know like what I mean?
Close
like,
call. Like,
I was looking at my phone and driving kind of feeling like right, and I swear, exactly. Whoa, dude. Don't
it is like,
do
it
that
is like
again.
Like you dodge a bullet. Like I was having a conversation in the bar on Monday night when we first started the fasting. It was like our first day of fasting. And I'm like, all right, I'm watching Monday Night Football in a bar, and everyone's got these like insanely good looking pretzel burgers with like onion rings on them and stuff.
Oh, God,
and they've got the tater tots and the little basket on the side.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to this guy, I'm like having a conversation, and he just kind of like, he's one of these skinny guys that like doesn't finish his tater tots, like has two, and then they're just like sitting there. And I kept like almost reaching over just to, as you do with friends, just like grab a tater tot. Cause like he's done. Like that's kind of like the norm is that if your friend's done and they're not eating it, you can eat it. Right. And so I just kind of almost reach like halfway and be like, the fuck is going, you feel like you dodge a bullet when you stop yourself. And you're like, oh, yeah, that would have ruined my whole day.
Thank you, self.
It was just an accident.
But yeah, it felt like you almost had an accident. And I just sat at Red Robin and watched my kids. I had a birthday party and just watched kids not finish excellent food is hard. But
oh,
you know what you should do to add a real kicker on it is go to the freezer, get out the ice cream, scoop yourself a bowl, sit down at the kitchen table and stare at it for 10 minutes. And then put it back 5 minutes.
I don't know if I could do that. I'll be honest.
You would get
I
a kick out of
I
that.
I could do that. It would be the hardest thing I've ever done.
But just it does do kind of hold. But that's the point. That's, you know,
yeah,
what
I
mean?
Know.
Just go do that.
I know.
It does kind of hold a mirror up to your like kind of compulsive eating. Because you don't really notice it. Sometimes you go, I don't know about you guys, but I go for a snack. Like, so I'll get the crackers out and I'll look in the fridge and I'll be like, okay, where's the cheese? Maybe I got some smoked salmon. I'll start putting something together. And then sometimes I'll be like, this is like before dinner snack. And I'll have kept going so long that now I'm full. I'll be like, oh shit, I overdid the before dinner snack. which you don't even think about. Your mind's somewhere else and you're just like making stuff. But it's amazing how much of that is like part of your eating habit is just not
It's grabbing before before your mind even engages, the part of you is just grabbing and like it's just you feel it. And now you have awareness of the thought from doing this experiment. So
because you normally don't have any limitations on your eating. Yes.
Like, I'm not how hard would it be to skip a meal while your friend like, but that was literally your first day. It's like, I'm gonna skip one meal at one pub one time, and it felt like torture.
I mean, I mean, it's just crazy. What's so funny to me is the range of emotion, but across a 1 day span with our relationship with food.
It's awesome. Yeah,
it's hilarious. It's so funny. Because, like, after we've eaten all day on our feast days, everybody's so disgusted with food, and they're like, I'm such a fat idiot. Food is so stupid. I don't need to eat food. I don't need food is what we say sometimes at night.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, everybody's pretty good. And then early afternoon, everybody's attitude has changed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it gets like, okay, I want food. Like, I need it. And then you go past and you're better not, but it's just so funny to kind of witness that, especially on a text thread, you know.
The craziest discovery is that one of before you eat tomorrow, what that's like.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's
that's the best.
When you've gone 38.
I don't know why, but that's not negative at all. That's like a totally positive.
That's the thing. Yeah. Waking up after 37 hours of fasting or 38 hours of fasting and being like, my body literally doesn't need food right now.
Yeah, that, and then your mind in that is a very positive. It's not stupid. You're not being silly.
No,
it's it's a very good.
It's like quality. Finally you're in reality where it's like, it's all clear. And then you eat, you start it over again.
Yeah. Then you eat and it's like, what is, then you're on some, you realize,
you start your toxic relationship with food over again.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it does. Every single, every other day, I guess we kind of go through that.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Enterprise, we know you're constantly on the move. Getting this.
Thanks, Mom.
Fixing that. You reach a destination. And then it's on to the next. And when life is moving at the speed of, well, life, Enterprise is right there with you. Around the corner and around the globe. We'll keep you moving forward. Enterprise. For lives in drive.
So, yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. We're just talking about we're doing it for the whole month of October, and we're doing no alcohol, which is kind of a big deal. But we got – how many of us
are kind of a big deal.
Six.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah.
I mean, it really is kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. I don't know if you heard, but Sally,
I know that might mean
–
you know. I mean, it feels like a big deal. I just – the thing that I really – it bothers me the most about the whole thing is it isn't really that hard, and it's almost exclusively mental. Like, I am not starving right now. I am not hurting myself. I have energy. I could literally go exercise if it wasn't late at night. I mean, I have enough energy where I could go exercise right now. Maybe I even should after we do this podcast just to prove that I can do it. But my mind goes, you are dying. You are dying. If you don't find food as soon as you can, it's over. You know what I mean?
But you feel that way, or you actually are thinking those thoughts? Because I feel those impulses, but I'm saying those aren't my exact thoughts.
What do you mean?
I'm saying, are you saying to yourself out loud in your mind, I'm going to die?
Yeah. Like, this is it.
Those exact words.
I just mean thinking you're being metaphorical. Like, yeah, man, I'm feeling crazy. But you.
No, yeah. I mean, I think Lunser's the same way. I just go,
Turn them into real thoughts. So that's really funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because you know, I mean, your stomach is getting used to not having food, and your body's realizing, oh, wait, you know, because I have stored fat, so I know that I'm not going to die, but it feels like it. And I go, oh, God.
To the point where you this literally
this is what dying feels like. I might not be dying, but this is what it feels like to not have food. That, I'll tell you, it's crazy. This has made me think, like, what about, like, people in the past, or maybe they're stranded on a desert island or something, and you just start starving to death? I was like, what point does it get, like, really painful or awful? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
I think it gets probably easier.
No, but I mean, at some point you die. Like, what if there is no food?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, you're in the desert and you're going you know, like, there is no food. But you just die of not eating. What does that actually feel like? You know what I mean? Like, what
it's just like slowly.
Is it this, but way worse?
Yeah.
I think it's slowly. Like,
is it
going
emptiness?
To sleep.
You think so? You just lose less energy.
You know how you feel? You know how your energy level feels low after day?
And you're hungry, but you just get more and more tired, and eventually you just.
More and more just.
Yeah. So there was this one guy that won that show alone by, at the end, he stopped eating and he said, I'm not going to have any food because if I eat any food, it will kickstart my metabolism and I'll start starving. So he fasted the last 20 days and won it.
Wow.
Like literally, he was already starving and he's like, I'm done. I'm just going to fast. And he just laid in a bunk in like his little shack that he built.
Oh, no.
And all, the only thing he did all day was like start a fire because it was winter. And he just laid there and drank water and won by fasting. Yeah. And it's the people who have like they go out and they forage and they get little berries and stuff and they try to like they're like pining after food. It does something to your metabolism where you start eating your muscles and then the medvac has to come and pull you out.
And you spend all your energy trying to find the food,
trying
and
to find
you don't
food,
make
and
it up.
It's like a hibernation calories.
Maybe though, to some degree, like a bear does that.
Yeah,
do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Humans might have that in our history. You know, some hibernating type of.
It's just a more. I mean, your metabolism. You know, it slows down. Like, there's adjustments are made to your and include mood and everything. You know.
Right, and I think you have to kind of train your body. Obviously, when you first start fasting, it's really hard. And then, like now, a weekend, yes, it's hard. But like you, psychologically, you know that you can do it. And you can push through the hunger pangs. And
we were talking about the day. I do think probably like a. Just doing a 24-hour fast or whatever, you know, just eat 1 or 2 hours of the day. That seems like something to that one, to me. Like, as I might could even do that as a lifestyle, just because I would. I don't need that much, and in that time, I can definitely fill up. You know what I mean?
That would give me enough. People angry that insist that I have very strong opinions about breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, have it for dinner.
No, but I mean, do that most important meal of the day kind of people.
We're past all that nonsense.
I mean, fasting has been the only thing that has been shown to extend your life, really. Like, it actually does help you, but just nobody wants to do it.
calorie restriction, it's definitely
extend your life, but what kind of life? Oh my god,
you know, that's getting those questions. Yeah, how many years? Like, how long am I gonna get? I don't know what I would trade. Like, would you add
more years to your life right now? Okay, would you eat like this? It says if you do this the rest of your life, you get an extra 20 years.
20?
Yeah, but you have to eat like this for the rest of your life.
So
every other day,
diet 80 or like 100. Eating whatever or eat way healthier.
I mean, if you had guarantee that was the effect, then you would.
About the 80. Well, I guess the quality of your 80 to 100 would be better if you fasted.
No, it'd be so awful. Can you imagine like us hanging out and on tour and I'm just over there just stuffing my fucking face, eating, drinking, all this stuff. And you're like, but one day you'll be gone and I'll do you doing the same damn thing for that last 20 years. You still have to do it still.
The only thing I would say is maybe the quality of your life from 80 to 100 would be better than expected. You know what I mean? Like, that would be the main positive for me is not necessarily the years.
Yeah.
Is more the quality of the years. You know what I mean? Like, I would take, if I was mobile, like really mobile at 85 or, you know, pushing 90, right, because I fasted and I was just overall
William
healthy.
Shatner.
That'd probably be worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just somebody like that. But
okay. How much money would it take to take off 1 year? The last year of your life is gone, but you can have, how much money would, what's the lowest
right
amount
now?
You would take?
You get the money,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah. The very last, like you think, oh, I'm going to live till I'm 80. You die at 79 instead, but you don't know. I'm saying, you don't know how long you're going to live. So this could be your last year. But
I mean, if this is a movie or anything, obviously, yeah, you're going to be already negative by the time you take it. That's the joke.
Maybe, but maybe not. But what money would you take? How much would you even do it for any amount of money? $1 billion right now, last year of your life.
I don't think.
But I get a million. I would do it for $1 million if I got $1 million now.
I think
you would do it.
You
take 1 year off your life for $1 million.
I think you'd feel good about that in time.
Really? Why not? I mean,
I don't think you would.
I think if you look at the stats, like, usually the last year of your life before you die is not that great.
That's the point.
That's true.
I see the point of the logic.
That's true.
Wait, this year hasn't been too good. If those stats are right, McDonald.
I just mean, if you assume that you're going to live to old age, and that you're not going to get shot by Hamas in the street, then, yeah, the last year is usually you're dying of cancer or something.
Right.
That's usually what will happen. That
dementia,
what will happen
or Alzheimer's.
Is
yeah, that,
will
if you
get,
put factor that in, I see your point.
That's a good point.
Just take that off. Give me $1 million now where I can spend it on my family and
so
my
you
kids.
Said a million,
I mean,
you
hell
said
yeah.
A million.
But what about the – but what about – yeah. Because what if you die – well, I was thinking unexpectedly, more unexpectedly at a younger age. You know what I mean? Then it would be like, well, shit. I wish.
But at
I
least
had
you leave. You get to leave them. You would have died either way.
Well,
yeah,
that's true.
But then
just
you,
1 year
then
later, to, maybe.
But then you get to leave them money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would still do it for $1 million minimum, probably. Not
I'd
for 100,000.
Ask any billionaire. It's all those people, though. You know that. You know that's the thing they say. If that you can't, you have all the money, but you can't. Buy more. That's what they wanted. That's the people that had money wanted to buy.
But assuming that you live to old age.
Yeah, people, how much would you spend on a year?
I'm just what I'm saying. People would spend way more on a year than they would take to lose one.
How much would you spend to relive the best year of your life?
See,
the best year of your life. How much would you, if there was some way to go back in time or whatever, you could relive it again. How much would you spend?
I mean, if you
could.
Is it a bonus on your life?
I mean,
so you get an additional year of life.
No, you just get to live that year again.
And then you come back
know,
to where you are.
But where in the sequence of my normal timeline does that year occur?
I guess you come back.
It's in like, it's in like a dream.
Right.
In like a dream state.
No, but you trade this. You could trade this year. Would you trade this year for the best year of your life?
What happens
with
this year, though?
That's what I'm saying. What if it goes away? That's the cost.
Would I come back and have missed a year?
Yeah.
You
come back and
handle that. That's the movie clip.
So, oh well, now you're saying that this upcoming year will be the best year of your life. Then,
but I can't.
You wouldn't trade it for
the
best year
of
your life.
Having missed a year is a bigger negative than whatever that would be.
I know, but you wouldn't want to live the year your first child was born and how amazing that was. You get to see that and live that.
But then you're robbing
this year
there.
You'd rather live with a middle schooler or whatever. Ugh.
But I'm missing this. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'd be literally trading that.
I know. I think I'd trade.
But you take yourself away from your kids
for
a year?
But there'd be one that was missing in that scenario.
They would have an AI dad that seemed like you.
I know, but I'm saying me not ever having the information, the bothersomeness of that to me personally.
Yeah, so that means future is more important to you than the past.
Obviously.
Wow. No,
how
but I'm saying the
be?
Best year of your life, though. But I mean, like, the best times of your life, you wouldn't choose to miss out tomorrow to relive that.
I think that's a deal. That's a deal with the devil.
It can't be for everybody.
Yeah, because I don't have any. The past to me is
But that just
so
shows y'all's hope
about.
And what might be or what you wouldn't want to miss.
Well, it seems irrelevant.
I mean, it could be.
The future is relevant.
There's no possible way that you can relive a past year in the same way that you lived it the first time.
That's right. Yeah, it falls apart.
The whole thing wouldn't be
if
the
you
best
can time
year
like quantum
again.
Leap.
It would be hell if
body.
You did it again.
You didn't know, but you didn't know maybe.
Yeah, but if you didn't know, then what you would you do? You'd be repeating it, but not knowing it. that wouldn't feel that's like true. You were getting it.
Yeah, then it would be the same
current,
as it
you wouldn't have
yeah.
it.
That's true.
Yeah.
There has to be continuity with
you.
You
couldn't be taking it in real time. You're not getting that enjoyment that you're seeking.
If you got to watch it,
you'd feel the same.
Now you could watch it
and feel all the emotions.
And that would feel nice.
It would probably still suck.
The point is, you would be very disappointed when you went back and thought, fuck, I got to do this. This is a shitty fucking
like, I would go back to maybe like when I was 23. Like, there's no way I could tolerate what I tolerated then now.
Right, right.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
The amount of shit I put up with in that year was insane, but it didn't seem like shit to me because I was 23 and it was all new.
But I mean, even then you weren't enjoying it. So it's not like you'd go back now and actually enjoy it. You'd go back and have the same feeling like, because you didn't know at the time it was so great.
Right.
You were just doing stuff pissed off and like thinking about the future and your other past. And so you weren't enjoying it. So if you went back to it and it's like, oh, I can enjoy it this time. Well, then you'd be doing it different. You'd be acting
completely different.
You would be a different person.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Yeah,
well,
true.
Dang it. Y'all kind of crushed my positive outlook
guys.
On that.
You can't
Toby,
go back. You can't fucking go back. Only forward and enjoy the now.
But it's fun to think about the past.
Well, yeah, and it's scary.
I had a sad idea. I thought, what if they created it where they could just, like Elon creates a thing where he just taps in and you can just, go back into your memories and actually watch them. I was thinking about that. Like, you just go, I do want to watch fourth grade
That's a black
in Christmas pageant or something. You know what I mean? And you could watch your memory of it again. But then I thought, for me, I was like, what if he did it to my brain and he's like, there's nothing here. Like for me, because I have such a bad memory and I might, it's not good. What if the pathway just wasn't there? He's like, no, it's not. There's like this, there's this afternoon you played kickball in your backyard with the neighbors, but that's about all I'm seeing for like 3 years.
But they say have all that information though, right? You just can't recall it.
Wait, do you really?
I don't think so. Well,
like it's in there.
I don't think so.
Can't you override it with new stuff?
I think everyone has a different level of long-term memory, and that memory is highly suspect. Like the data is corrupt by a lot of other networks in the brain.
But you don't lose it, right?
Well, if you don't, there's a physical side to it that there is loss.
Yeah, like a literal
wrinkle. There's some literal,
at
least physical side where loss does occur, at least between conscious and unconscious. At least
the resolution is instantly degraded to like almost nothing.
Yeah.
So it's like you might be.
But that's in your accessible memory. The question is in your deeper.
Like repressed stuff.
It's somewhere else in the deeper.
That's what I'm saying.
You go all the way down, at least subconscious, or say that there's something beyond the in the soul or information
some people,
that goes outward.
Some people do say with psychedelics and stuff, they're able to tap into memories. And the resolution is HD.
It may be somewhere else.
It's HD.
Like it may be deeper
resolution.
In you or elsewhere that some information does
It's been covered. It's been covered and covered and covered with other events and things and memories, but it's not gone. You know what I mean? That's the way I feel about it.
Maybe it went somewhere, but it's, what I mean? Like you're, the information you take in
maybe
goes
put
more
away.
Than you can pay attention to, and it goes somewhere. I don't know if it's somewhere else or is stored in you or could there's more of it available than you're able to reach in the simplest way. So there is more than you think there is a lot more than you
That's
think
what I'm
is
saying.
There.
So
is somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. But and so much of it I think is unreliable because it's all tied up in narrative and like, self-referential thinking and like who you think you are based on what you experienced, which might not be what you actually experienced. It's just how you read it at the time with your limited understanding of the world.
Yeah,
and like,
that's true.
It's so cloudy.
Yeah.
It's not like a hard drive.
Right. Going back from a different perspective, it would feel very different.
If you paid attention to different things, but had this, if you were standing in the same place as the same person with the same eyes, but you could just like look different or focus different or focus your hearing on different things the second time around, you would be at totally different as a result. you have taken in a different sample of the world. In a, even if you went back and just took it in differently, it would you would be different because of that.
Yeah.
But you only really remember critical, it seems like critical things, like things that were like really like big moments, or like you have those random memories that are like totally arbitrary. Like you just remember one day when you were laying out on the grass and you like picked a four-leaf clover, like some bolt.
Yeah, that
some,
is weird. It, but it's really weird. All what happens, I think, there is that you you remembered it for some little reason, but then the fact that you remembered it made you remember it again and again. So you get these certain things where, and then you know, even your conception of it probably has changed, but in a way you don't even know.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's like, oh, that's one of my memories. Now you have a extra like stabilizing pathway to it. It's like, not only do I remember what it felt like, I remember that's a memory of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like memory is so
you,
weird.
You decided to keep it, like, and so it's reinforced automatically.
Yeah. It's
and
really just like a myth that you tell yourself about that allows you continuity moving forward. It's like, this is who I am.
That's right.
And if you didn't have it, it's actually devastating because you, then you don't know who you are and you can't move forward in the world. But it is still a myth. It's not, not all those things didn't actually happen the way that you think. Right. That was your perception creating the narrative of what happened.
What is y'all's earliest memory? Like, do you have a one like you're the littlest you can get?
Yeah. It's probably four when we were moving into our house where, you know, where that house is now. And it's it was all it was building that and it was the dirt clot. Like, we had brought in all these dump trucks of dirt, and so the whole dirt, it was like pop big mountains of dirt all around the yard before it was spread, and I'm playing in that dirt. That's my, I said, this really strongest, clearest memory that's earliest is I think I'm four.
I think I have one around four in a different house before when I was growing up. Just a weird like little memory in the kitchen or something, you know, like Mac was saying, it's like some, but I mean, that's the first time your memory started to like take hold, you know? So,
I can remember I was three as my brother being born. And the reason I remember is because I didn't want to leave my dad and mom, and my papa and grandma came and got me. And I just remember turning around, looking out the back window and screaming as my dad walked back into the hospital. I was like, no, dad. And I was 3 years
old.
Sounds
dramatic.
Yeah, that's devastating.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh. And my grandparents were just like, it's okay, it's fine. And I made my dad miss my brother's birth, by the way. Because of me, he missed, he didn't see me or my brother born. Two different
that's
things.
Funny.
But yeah, that's the oldest memory I guess I have. And it's in there. It won't go away.
I think the oldest one I have is waking up from a nap in my crib. I might have been three something. And the sun was shining through the curtains, and the curtains were yellow, so the whole room was yellow. That's all I remember. It's just like the color yellow.
Doesn't that sound so weird? That sounds like a computer.
Yeah.
Some generated image. That's so crazy that you remember that. That's just. So
I can
wild.
Like picture. I can picture my perspective from the crib.
Right.
And like where the window was, and then where the door was, and then where my mom would come in and get me from my nap.
Yeah.
I don't think that – I think that that doesn't sound weird to me, because it's like when you're that young, you're so open, you don't – like now you don't give a shit about like, oh, you're fucking yellow. You've seen it a billion times. It doesn't mean much to you now.
Right.
And like curtains and the texture, like all those other sensory things you were giving that full attention to now you don't even – you don't
look
at curtains.
It was like waking up in a dreamland. It's the first time I ever seen a whole room that was yellow. You know, and I was just in that color phase where you're just like experiencing colors, you know.
But but you don't think of those other sensory things we don't spend so much time on anymore.
No.
So it's like you're not even paying attention to that whole way of looking.
Yeah, I'm looking at Toby's room. His looks kind of yellow and Dave's looks blue. But I didn't notice that until now.
You just called me Dave.
Or sorry, Dave.
Your memory is.
I appreciate
his
if you
name
corrected
is written
that.
On the screen.
Devin, sorry.
Friend Devin.
Now that Dave is on the thread, it's fucking me up. My bad.
I'm just kidding.
A thousand apologies.
All those D-name guys.
Yeah, those two D-name guys in Emory, I don't even know.
Devin, that's the same thing. A lot of D's and V's. Get out of here.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, when we were on this last tour we did, I remember some fan walked up to Dave and said, "Oh, Toby, man, that was so awesome." And I just remember looking, you know, me and Dave just kind of caught glance like, okay, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Just like, all right, what's going to happen now? And I knew Dave wouldn't ever say anything.
No chance.
And so he just went along with the conversation for a while.
As Toby,
yeah.
So when I wrote this song, he did a southern accent and everything.
Yeah. You know whose name I can never remember is Orion. Someone will say, "Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Ryan," and it's just like a Ryan. It just blank. Just Ryan is blank in my head. I can never remember Orion for some reason.
That's the way J names for me, like Jason or Jacob or Jerry,
you can't form a new Jason memory.
No, Jasons are they go out my mind. They are gone.
Okay, all right. I have a question while we're here, though. Just real quick.
Okay,
sorry.
We're still in the age of Jaden, Praden, Gaden, Aiden,
Slayton,
Caden. But anyway,
Slayton.
Which one, seriously, would you take? Which one do you think is the worst of the names? Jaden, Praden. I'm sorry, Praden. They're not really Praden, but Jaden, Braden, Caden, or Caden. Just which one of those would you least?
I hear
like
a lot
be?
Of Bradens. I've heard a lot of Bradens. Bradens are a big one.
Braden, Caden, Aiden, and Jaden. Which one would you least like to
Hayden?
Be? Hayden, yeah. Which one would you least like of
which
us?
One,
Matt,
least like or take?
To be, if you had to be named which one would you be like?
Like the worst one.
Yeah.
Braden's pretty fucking
bad. Yeah, somebody listening that has named their kid this.
I know.
I mean,
but it's the word. Sure. It's braid. It's braid, and you're a boy. It's like the hair connotations there.
Yeah,
I think that's honestly, bro, Aiden, because I heard their lead singer did some stuff.
Aiden's the best
of
those, I think. Anyway, I just that's just what's in my head.
Okay, well, thanks, Matt. Thanks for stopping and doing that. I enjoyed that little exercise. Why don't we pay some bills?
All right, first thing we got. Oh yeah, well, this is after we put some new merch on sale, so we got some new shirts in the store, and we got a bunch of stuff we're just getting rid of this time of year. Liquidation sale. We're calling it the liquidation sale.
Liquidation sale. Everything
must go. But if you buy one of the new shirts, you get a vinyl for free.
Yeah.
Then you can also purchase mystery items and a bundle that gets you two vinyl and a shirt for $29.99. There'll be lots of options, lots of cool things, some new stuff. Go to emorymusic.com for all the details for that. We're also playing two shows with Haste the Day and the Almost. Mm-hmm. December 1st, Santa Ana, California at the Observatory. December 2nd, San Diego at House of Blues. Those are going to be awesome. Really fun.
It's going to be insane. It's going to be insane.
Now, we can't announce the other days, but we do have some that we're going to be announcing soon. We promise.
Very soon. And those will be insane.
Insane. We also have custom songs on sale now. We've sold some before Christmas, but a lot of people like them for Christmas presents.
Yep.
So, hey.
You need to get yours now because we have sold several and we're going to sell out probably soon. So, yeah, if you want the best present you could ever give somebody, it is a custom song written by me and Dev, and we sing on it. You get it. You can tell us your story. We turn it into a song. It's amazing. Maybe you have lyrics and you want us just to sing it and create a melody. We can work with you, but get these soon.
Yeah, we got to have a certain amount of time to get them done in time for Christmas. But also, if you want it just for another, special time, we can do that too. So yeah, just check it out. Join Emeryland, and you get In Shallow Seas We Sail live vinyl. You can have that before it's not on sale to the public yet. So the Emeryland people have been listening to those for a while.
Yeah.
We put a bunch of demos in Emeryland that we created for the next album.
Get to hear the next album as soon as it's done.
I don't know if it's an album. It's not really an album. We haven't talked about it much, but we don't have to get into all that now.
Right.
But it's called kind of the No Rules era. Yeah. It's kind of what we're calling it. So, can I say about the album art? Can I say that?
Sure.
So we were sitting at the airport.
It's not even an album.
Did you hear about this? Yeah, we were sitting at the airport and we were talking about this album, and then somehow I don't remember how we were kind of talking about different names and stuff like that. And then
No. I think I said, everybody, first thing that pops in your head, very first thing that pops in your head, say it, and that's going to be the title of the album.
Yeah.
It's just the very first thing that pops in your head.
No rules?
Yeah. So everybody said one, and several of them were funny.
We were just sitting at the airport bar waiting to leave after a tour, just being silly. And Toby said, okay, right now, everybody, you have to say an album name. Say it.
Yeah.
And just, I don't remember what anybody said. I just point at him, say something out loud.
And they're all funny.
And Dave goes, he just goes, no rules, just right.
Yeah.
And but then we said, like, that's it.
That might be the name of the album.
And then we were just messing around, and the album art that we came up with was just a blooming onion. It's just a picture of a blooming onion.
And it looks good.
Album
Devin
called
made
No
it
Rules.
In like a few seconds. We said, okay, that's basically, that's the concept.
That's
at
it.
Least. So that group was, that was on our way home from being at the studio and hadn't worked on the music and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so that batch, whatever form it's coming in, and if it's a vinyl, then that's it. I mean, we already announced it publicly here, so that's the announcement of the thing.
So we got some songs coming out. We got them rolling out. So be on the lookout. Emeryland gets them first. Mm-hmm. Instant access to the part D that we do for the podcast, the second hour of us talking about stupid shit, and then all the Emery video specials. All those that are, I think they're really good. I really enjoy just sometimes I'll turn them on. I'm like, man, these are really good to watch. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Exclusive music, 20% off everything at emerymusic.com. Songs and stories, tickets, custom songs, marriage supply.
Yo.
And all the stuff on our website. Also, you can support us by going to the link to the tip jar in the description. If you just are like, hey, these dudes are cool. We're turning the iPad around and seeing what you got.
Yep.
This is our turn the iPad around moment.
All right. And one of the benefits of being in Emeryland is you get your name read on this podcast. Mm. And this is interesting because I think everybody knew we've been fasting. And so these people said they've been having a fast from their favorite foods because their favorite foods sound too sexual.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow. Ready?
I think so. First name, Shane McCown.
Yep. Nut butter.
Nut butter.
Yeah. Nut butter.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Next, I'm going to mess up this last name. Matthew Moe? Mew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Right?
Matthews is pulled pork.
Nice.
A little too sexual for him.
Yeah. All right. Sarah. These are tough names this week. Sarah Corvo.
In and out animal style.
Drew Anderson.
Hot pocket.
Yeah. Ben Pelfrey.
A Memphis dry rub.
No, dang. Yep,
they sent them in. A few other people sent them in. Somebody sent in a sloppy Joe.
Yeah,
a banana split. Muffalata. Yep. Kumquat. A Boston cream pie, and a pig in a blanket.
There's probably almost every food you can almost do that way. I bet that's basically infinity. The links your mind can make between food and sex. Probably almost unlimited.
I mean, yeah. And people have just laughed at it forever. It's just it's wonderful that you just get to laugh at that, your food and sex.
Salami. So.
Yeah.
Sausage.
All right, join Emery Land. We shall see y'all next week.